this evening. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Shall we pray? Father God, we bless you. We magnify thee. We say, great is your faithfulness. Great are your mercies toward us and your loving kindness. Oh, let's bless the Lord. Let's sing a song to just bless his name. Let's tell the Lord that he is good. Oh, yes, Lord, you are good. Your mercies endure forever. Oh, we give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise.
Jesus, oh, yes. We love you. We worship and adore you.
Glorify thee,
we glorify thy name in all the earth.
Oh, yes. We glorify
thy name.
Bless you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord.
We glorify.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, we love you.
We worship.
We worship and adore you. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name in all.
Father God, we bless and worship you. Speak your word to us. May none of us leave the same. In Jesus' name we pray. And the saint said, amen. We may take our seats in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the books. How many don't have a copy of the Feeding 527? Why non-tithing Christians become poor and how tithing Christians can become rich. How many don't have a copy and want a copy? Want a copy? Want a copy? The books are, I'm sure they're at the back. Can we get a copy? Yeah, Titi will grab it. Is it just one person who needs a copy? Okay. So, very good. Yeah, you can put them down. Thank you. Okay. So, take one and then give it to Emmanuel. Hallelujah. Amen. So, Feeding 527. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 27. On Sunday, we're reading from chapter 14. Today, we're going to read from chapter 15. Amen. Amen. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. Hallelujah. Amen. So this is where, like we said on Sunday, this is where we get Feeding 527 from. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it's a blessing. Hallelujah. So let's jump right in. So we are reading from Why Non-Tithing Christians Become Poor and How Tithing Christians Can Become Rich.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Why non-tithing Christians become poor? Do non-tithing Christians become poor?
That's
It's a question. Yeah, they do. How tithing Christians can become rich? Are tithing Christians rich? What did he say? What? Yes, so tithing Christians can become rich. Amen. You will see that why do non-tithing Christians become poor? That's question one. Then there is also how a tithing Christian can become rich. Amen. And it's all through this book. I mean, it's all through the Word of God, but this book is very, very loaded with very, very powerful, very, very important information. Hallelujah. So chapter 15 says, how tithers activate the laws of sowing and reaping. Hallelujah. Amen. How tithers activate the laws of sowing and reaping. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So, number one, so we have the 15 laws of sowing and reaping. Hallelujah. The 15 laws of sowing and reaping. John 12:24. The Gospel of John chapter 12, verse 24. Hallelujah. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth or remaineth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the 15 laws of sowing and reaping. The first is you must plant something. Now read it again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it remains alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The first law of sowing and reaping teaches that you must plant something. You must actually have a seed that you have sown. If you have not sown anything, you cannot expect anything. The law of sowing and reaping, if you don't sow, you can't reap. How are you going to reap what you've not sown? Hallelujah. The less spiritual you are, the less you will correlate things that happen to you with seeds you have planted in the past. The more spiritual we are, we would many times link some of the things that are happening in our lives, the good things, to the seeds we've sown. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The more spiritual you are, the more you will expect a harvest of seeds you have planted. Amen.
Amen.
Isn't this powerful?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're reading from the book. We are now on page 104. Hallelujah. You must begin to see things in the light of sowing and reaping. Every farmer does. Whether you like it or not, many things you deal with are actually results of seeds you have sown. Many things we do, many things we experience are as a result of seeds we've sown. Hallelujah. Whether it's financial seeds or sown seeds of discouragement to someone, or seeds of theft, you receive a certain reward, or seeds of, I'm looking for words, seeds of what?
Unforgiveness.
Or seeds of treachery. Or seeds of betrayal. Seeds of unfaithfulness. Hallelujah. You would reap the corresponding rewards or results. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Whether you like it or not, things you deal with are actually results of seeds you have sown. Many things you do are actually seeds that you are sowing. You can expect a harvest when you have planted a seed. Paying your tithes is the planting of a seed. Paying your tithes opens the door for you to reap a financial or reap financially in the future. Very important, anytime we sow a seed, especially the tithe, we are securing our finances. Hallelujah. I always say, anytime someone has lost a job, I always ask them, did you pay tithe? If they pay tithe, I'll tell them that, don't worry, God has a better plan for you. Actually, God is actually forcing you out so you get a better job. Amen. Because the tithing secures your increase. Hallelujah. Amen. The tithing secures your income. Amen. The tithing secures your blessing. Amen. But when they've not paid tithe or they were not paying tithe, then we'll pray. The first person, there's no need to pray. I'll just say, we thank God. Don't worry, you are good. But when the person doesn't pay tithe and they've lost their jobs, we always pray, because then they will need a certain prayer. Hallelujah. For things to work. But anytime you and I pay tithe, we are activating the laws of sowing and reaping, and we will reap a harvest. The Bible says that pay your tithe into the storehouse so that there'll be meat in my house, and see the Lord, and see if I'll not open the windows of heaven. There are windows of heaven that are waiting to be opened for you and I. Hallelujah. There are windows in heaven. The heavens have windows that have everything you and I need. They are all above the window. When God opens the windows, all those blessings, all those things we need will come. I believe there are body parts. It's not in the Bible. That's why I said I believe. I believe there are body parts in heaven. I believe everything you and I need is in heaven. And once God opens the windows, all the blessings will flow. He says that, and prove me now, and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and bless you with such a blessing. There are many people who have a pocket full of holes. Meaning that, what does it mean? It means that your car is broken down. You need to repair it. It means just after repairing it, a medical problem costs thousands of dollars. Before you realize there's this bill that has come, you keep paying bill after bill, unforeseen expenses. Those are pockets full of holes because you didn't expect it. You have your monthly expenses already. Let's assume your monthly expenses are $500. Nevertheless, why is it that something has broken? There is this problem, this car problem, this health problem. Before you realize, instead of paying $500 a month, you are paying about $1,500, $1,600. Those are pockets full of holes.
That's right.
Because the holes are places that your finances or the people's finances are passing through without any plan, without the intention to pass through. How many, I get what I'm saying? Meaning that if I have a pocket full of holes, anytime I put coins, I have these coins, my pocket is not full of holes. That's why the coins can stay. But if my pocket was full of holes, how many have had a pocket full of yeah, all of us have had a pocket with holes in it, and the money cannot stay. The money usually just comes out. And that's what happens when people don't pay tithe. Hallelujah. Because the devil is waiting to just tick, 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 tick. What is the devil's name? What are one of the names of the devil? Yes.
Satan.
Yes. And what again? Thief.
Yes.
The devil is the thief.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Amen. Number two, you must plant in good ground. Matthew 13:8. So the laws of sowing and reaping, you must plant in good ground. Hallelujah. Waiting for Matthew 13:8. We must plant in good ground. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. The second important law of sowing and reaping is that you must plant in good ground. It's not every ground you plant in. It must be good ground. Seeds do not grow everywhere. Apple trees do not grow in tropical Africa. Their seeds simply do not flourish in the dry, red West African soil. However, they are able to flourish in temperate climates. Your seed will flourish when you plant it into a good church. If you plant your seed into a dead ministry that has departed from the scriptures, do not expect the harvest. Very important.
Yeah.
There is good ground and there is bad ground. Bad ground is a place God is not in. There are churches that God is not in, or there are places where God is not existing. But if you plant a seed in a place where God is, you will expect a harvest because God is there. Imagine God is in, God is in this place. The Bible says where two or three are gathered together in my name, he's in the midst of them. So Jesus is here. So anything that is planted here, Jesus is here and watching. So the likelihood of he taking that seed and blessing it and causing it to flourish is very high. But if there's a church where they are preaching on things that Jesus has not told them to preach, or they are involved in different things from the Bible, things that the Bible does not permit, Jesus will not be there. So seeds that are planted there might not necessarily germinate or flourish because God is not in that place. So you and I must also be careful where we plant. Hallelujah. We must plant in good, fertile ground. Ground that God is in. Hallelujah. That's why if you look at 1 John 5, 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And that this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So whatever is born, initiated of God, or whatever God is in, overcomes the world. And the victory that overcomes the world is our faith. Hallelujah. So you and I must sow in fertile ground. Hallelujah. Good ground. And this church is good ground. What do you think?
Amen.
It's very, very good ground. Number three, you must plant large amounts of seed. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. TLB. Just look at TLB. Or just read it from King James, and I'll read it from the TLB translation. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. You sow $2, or you sow coins, you reap, no problem, but you reap small. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. You give a generous harvest, a generous seed, you reap a bountiful harvest. So what you put in is what you get. Hallelujah. But it's not exactly, it's not direct. You can't say it's a one-to-one. For example, the widow's mite. The widow in the temple gave more than the rich people. So the widow, with a small amount, even if it was $2, her whole, everything she had was the $2, and she gave it. Whilst the rich people were given $1,000, $10,000, but so far as Jesus was concerned, the $2 was more valuable than the $10,000 or $1 million. Why? Because the one who gave the $10,000 maybe had $1 million to spare. Mm-hmm. And the one who gave the $2 maybe just had
$2.50.
So she gave the most. So such a person, when she's reaping, she's not reaping $2, she's reaping millions of dollars. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the Bible is saying that this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Hallelujah. Let's continue. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Let's go back to verse 6, and I'll read it in the TLB translation. But remember this, if you give little, you will get little. A farmer who plants just a few seeds will get only a small crop, but if he plants much, he will reap much. What do you think?
That's right.
So let's sow bountifully. Sow bountifully and not sparingly.
Amen.
It means that when you are giving an offering, you give an offering as if God was present, and you are giving an offering that was respectful to God.
Amen.
It does. I mean, if all I have in my pocket is, I didn't have my phone to do the text to give, and all I had in my pocket was this, and I give it, that's different from I take my wallet. And in my wallet, I have dollar bills, maybe $2 bills, dollar, and I have $20, I have $50, I have $10, I have a good number of them. Then I search for the dollar bill. In the midst of the $10 and $20, I keep searching. Where is it? No, I have it somewhere. And then I drop it. Why didn't I take the $10? It means I had a respectful offering to give God, but I chose to give him the dollar. Why not? If when God, in his bountiful provision, the Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The cattle of 1,000 hills is the Lord's. So if God in all, he has everything. He's rich. He has everything. The whole world is in his hands. So if he has $1 million to give, and he also decides to just give you $2, what's the problem? Because you took time to search for that dollar. How many get what I'm saying? So when we are giving, let's give it respectfully. In Malachi, God said, will you give your governor this money? Will you give your governor or your boss or your leader this present, this sacrifice? Hallelujah. So it's good to sow large amounts of seed. Number four, some of your seeds will be lost. Some of your seeds will be lost. Another important truth about sowing seeds is that many of them will be lost. The reason why a man has millions of sperms, you see, a man has millions. If a man has 1 million sperms, you might think it's a lot, but that's trouble. It's going to be tough. You need millions of sperms. The reason why a man has millions of sperms is because, or you have 900,000 sperms and you are happy. 900,000 sperms cannot have it. It's going to be very difficult to have a child. You need millions of sperms. The reason why a man has millions of sperms is because most of them are simply lost on the way to the good ground. I was shocked to find that when a man has less than 40 million sperms, he will have difficulty in achieving a pregnancy. 40 million. This truth means that some of the offerings you give will be lost as seed that falls by the wayside. There is no way to determine which one will be lost and which one will fall into the ground or the good ground. That is why you just have to keep on sowing. Sometimes just sow because God will watch one day. You are sowing, every day you are sowing, and then one day God says it's time. The Bible says in Isaiah, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. But he was always going to the temple. Yeah. And it was in that year, as he kept on going year after year, yeah, it was in that year that the king died that he saw the Lord. Hallelujah. So sometimes there's always sowing every week, every Wednesday, every Sunday, every time you are sowing. And then one day, God comes to inspect. My mother has this fellowship thing she does in Ghana. And there are women who teach each other. I mean, there are women who have this fellowship, Christian fellowship, and every week, once a week. And no one knows when, but at a random time, she'll come there and give money. You just go there and give money. So those who are faithful would be there when she gets there. And those who are not faithful would find out later on that she came and distributed money and left. That's how God is. There will be a day. You keep sowing. But one day, he will come to inspect. And then anything that is sown that day, he takes and makes use of it and blesses with it. What do you think? Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Coming to church many times and being giving coming to church many times and being given many opportunities to give your tithes and offerings will definitely increase your chances of reaping a harvest. Mark chapter 4, verse 3 to 5. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. Hallelujah. So you see that when the seed that was sown, some fell on the wayside and nothing happened to them. And then some also fell on stony ground and it was able to spring up. Hallelujah. So you don't know which of your seeds will spring up. Hallelujah. That's why you need to keep on sowing, sowing, and sowing. Praise God. Number five, some of your seeds will never develop. Matthew 13, 7. Some of your seed will never develop. Matthew 13, 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them, so they never developed. Hallelujah. There are many reasons why farmers do not plant only a single seed. They know too well that many seeds will not grow. But there is good news. The one seed which does grow will be worth all the ones that did not grow. Imagine, the one seed that God takes will be much more than the seeds that were lost. The few seeds that land on the good ground will be worth all the wasted millions of seeds that you have sown. What do you think? Number six, you must plant the type of seeds you expect. Genesis 1:12. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seeds after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. So there must be a type or kind of seed that must be sown. If you want coconut, you must plant a coconut. If you want mango fruit, you must plant mangoes. If you want money, you must plant money. You can only expect a fruit that corresponds with what you have sown. What do you think? What are you sowing for? What you sow is what you reap. Galatians 6, 6 and 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Whatever you sow, you reap. Next verse. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So what are you sowing? It depends on what you sow. What you sow is what you reap. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Number seven, your seed must die. Yes, Phoebe, your seed must die. John 12, 24. Except, this is very, very lesson to except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remaineth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So except the seed falls to the ground and dies, it would just be a seed by itself. But if that seed enters the ground and dies, it brings forth not fruit, but much fruit. Plenty fruit because it went to the ground and died. Every seed must die. It undergoes decomposition and virtually melts away. This is what happens when you plant your seed in the house of God. It enters the offering basket and melts away. Many people try to figure out what their money, their offering and tithes were used for. It didn't die then. If it died then, it doesn't matter what it was used for. The money is dead. An offering you've given to God, are you now questioning God, what did you do with the money? Now, you question God by questioning the church, because when I give money to the church, isn't it God I'm giving the money to? Nobody gives money to the church. They give it to God, but you can't find God here. You can't. There's no way to find God but in the church, because the place you can find God is the church. Christ is the head of the church. Hallelujah. So if I want to give, if Jesus was here and I could give him $1,000, I would prove it by giving him that $1,000 in the church. But if I can't give Jesus $1,000 in the church, even if he was here, I won't give him that money. Because you can't separate Jesus from his word. You cannot also say you are giving to Jesus without giving to the church. If you give to the church, you are giving to Jesus. Because he's the head of the church. And the church is the embassy, Christ's embassy on earth. The church is the kingdom of God on earth. You cannot find Christ anywhere apart from the church. That's why actually the Antichrist, in fact, let's even step away from the Antichrist now. That's why the Holy Spirit, when the church is raptured, the Holy Spirit leaves. Actually, when the Holy Spirit will only leave the earth when the church is raptured. The Holy Spirit is actually still on earth because of the church. When the rapture occurs and the Holy Spirit leaves, then the Antichrist will come and he will reveal himself. So there must be a dying, except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies. It remains alone. So you and I must sow to Christ, sow into God's kingdom, and receive that blessing. Hallelujah. What do you think? It enters, so you are forced to forget about it because it's entered the basket. So from now on, don't worry about why we don't know what the money was. There's no account. The buildings are the accounts. I said the buildings. The buildings, you don't see churches having buildings, millions of dollars of buildings all over the world. You don't find that. What is the account? You see churches with the account, they've written, we did use this money for this month, but we don't see the buildings. Wisdom is justified of her children. The buildings speak for the church. Oh, you don't understand. The buildings speak. What is the money being used for? The buildings. But that's even a plus. Even if there are no buildings, it's not our concern because it's dead. But God has just given us an extra blessing by us knowing. What do you think? It enters the offering basket and melts away. You are forced to forget about it. You can no longer identify it as a traceable object. It has disappeared. It belongs to the church and it's all mixed up with everything else. Some people want to follow their money and watch its every movement, but you must allow it to melt away and disappear. So from now on, don't worry. What's the money being used for? Accounts? We don't find... A number of people have asked me in different parts of the U.S. Don't we have every Sunday after church, why don't we list the offering? We got this amount at least for the previous week. The previous week's offering, total offering and tithe. Why don't we list it the following week so that we can know what our money is being used for? What would that do? People who want to spend the money, they'll spend it after quoting all those things. Oh, you don't understand? $1,000,000, okay, $1,000 was given last week and it's now in accounts. Are you going to trace it? What if it was spent? You understand? You and I must trust God that that God, we've given the money to God, God's representatives are going to use it well for the kingdom of God and leave it, let it die. And God has given us an extra. The buildings are proving that the money is being used well. Some people, churches, some pastors, some people, when they go to Ghana, they go to the UD, the Lighthouse, and the Kadesh, when they go to those places, they feel ashamed. Because it's like, look at what a church is doing. Look at the buildings. And look at us. Look at the one building we have. And look at this church with the buildings, not only in Ghana, Nigeria, UK, South Africa, even the US now, we have one. I mean, and we are not talking about mortgage.
That's right.
Cash paid for, no debt. No monthly payments. This church, we believe we believe in prosperity of no debt.
Amen.
No debt.
That's right.
No mortgage. Someone say, ah, he's crazy. This guy, what's he saying? No mortgage.
Possible.
It's possible. Meaning that the worst is that you take 4 years to end it.
That's it.
Take 4 years, kill the payments, get zero payment, have the deed. That 30-year mortgage is a dream. Only less than 30% pay it off.
That's
the rest
right.
Foreclose, 70%, 60-something percent or over 60-something percent foreclose in the United States and even out there. Imagine, I've got a home, let's celebrate. Oh, my husband, or my wife, my children, my dog, my car, the American dream. They foreclose. Over 67% of people foreclose, mortgage owners. We don't believe in that in this church. We believe in owning homes, debt-free, glory.
Yeah.
I said owning homes, debt-free.
Amen.
Now, is it a belief that we just believe and we are hoping for? No, they are practical ones. We see them all the time.
Right.
We've seen many examples.
Right.
And we pray that some of the church members will also experience it. It's the pastors who I've seen have 4, 5, 6 different number of houses. We should also see church members. I'm sure church members do, but we must hear more of those. But we'll only hear more of those if we believe in what the prophet has been telling us. What do you think?
Yeah.
Number 8, almost done. Your seed must be given time to die. Ecclesiastes 11:1. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. So, time. Your seed also needs time to die. A watched pot never boils. If you keep watching the seed, it will seem to you that it never died and never germinates. Okay, I give $1,000. I'm watching. What benefit did I get? Let's keep watching.
No.
You must forget about it and decide never to remember the seed you have sown. You sown a big amount, leave it. Don't worry about it. Don't feel bad you've given. Don't feel bad. Did I give it? Should I have given it? Should I not have given it? What is the seed being used for? Why can't I see the benefits? No. When you do that, you would have given your seed enough time to go through the process it must go through. Every seed must go through a process to germinate. Leave the seed. Leave the seed. Sow the seed. Leave it. I've sown certain seeds believing God for certain things. I've sown it. I've left it. I just know it will happen. I'm just waiting. I was in the UK. I gave an amount. I had maybe about £1,200. I'm giving an example, but I know it was £1,000 I sold. But I had very, very little, maybe 100, 1,100, 1,200, very little. I gave that seed.
when Bishop was raising funds for the Kodesh, initially, he came to UK, I gave that seed. And I gave that seed. A friend of mine asked, because they knew the struggle. Oh, you gave a seed? How much? £1,000? I felt bad. Just the response. It's like, wow. But I can't say anything. I don't want to spoil. You've already given it. I felt bad. But I left it. Ever since then. Just for security reasons, I can't see it in the camera. But ever since then, without fail, opportunities, I'm always at premium. Always at premium. Maybe I'll tell you after the video. I always at premium, ever since. And right after that, I got my first job. It was like magic. How my mother called me and said, oh, my friend's daughter is a partner at one of the accounting firms. Simple. Speak to her. Jack Robinson, by the time you finish seeing Jack Robinson, I was working at one of the firms. Straight from the... And since then, I said, look, I can't say it now. But it's from that £1,000, because I was a student and it was a blow. Since then, I stayed in the UK. After that £1,000, for maybe about 4 or 5 months, I, after that, there'll be times I'll swipe and declined. I'll go to Sainsbury's, swipe the card, shopping, declined. It was after that. But it wasn't a worry until I balanced and I was just barely making it after that £1,000. But it was only for a few months. Right after, I said, look, premium. In different areas, God has blessed me. Amen. All the time, for many years, it's always been. So the seed is time. So when you sow a seed, don't worry about it. Don't start timing God. Go, okay, I sow the seed. God, okay, I've come. I don't see it. No. I don't see it. Did this seed really germinate? No. Leave it to time. Leave it for God. Don't frustrate God. Just leave it. Let God be God and do his work. He's promised seed time, harvest time. Give the seed and leave it to God. What do you think? One more and then we'll continue. Your seed will grow by God's miraculous power. 1 Corinthians 3:6. First Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. I have planted, Apollos watered. But at the end of the day, it was God who gave the increase. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. The increase comes only from God, not from a church, not from a pastor, not from anyone but God. Apollos planted, I planted, Apostle Paul said, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So he planted. Sometimes when we go on evangelism, we are planting or watering. Sometimes we go on evangelism. Jesus loves you, died for your sins. Get away! I hate you. It's a plant. The seed has been planted. Kind of example. Say Jesus loves you. You've gone on outreach to before. You've gone many times, and she's become a pro. What do you tell them when you go? And I, get away, I hate you, I don't have time for that, leave me. That's what they do. Yes. Thank you. But it's a seed. Yeah. A seed has been sown. Amen. Another time, someone will come to them and tell them the same thing, and they'll start weeping. And then, do you want to give your life to Christ? Yes, and they surrender. That has been watered. But God is the one who touched their heart and gave the increase or the salvation. Amen. And many times too, we also water and God just does it for us. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Because there are times that we'll go on outreach and right there, they surrender to Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. But in terms of giving, we plant.
But at the end of the day, it is God, it is God who gives the increase. It is God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
No one else but God. Mark 4, 26 and 27. So that's why we must believe in God's integrity. We must trust God that when we plant, He is going to give the increase, and we leave it at that. Mark 4, 26 and 27. And he said, so is the kingdom of God. As if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. That's how it works. You and I don't usually know how. All of a sudden, we know that the seed has increased. All of a sudden, we know that God has blessed us. But we don't know how. When we give a seed or we are trusting God for something, sometimes you'll be trusting God for a miracle. And you tell God, God, I want to sow a seed, trusting you for this. You sow that seed, trusting God for the particular thing. You leave it. You will not be able to determine how God will do it. But all of a sudden, miraculously, you are walking in that blessing. And that is what God does for us. No one really knows how a seed grows into a mighty tree. Scientists have tried to analyze what exactly happens to the seed. Ultimately, it is a miracle that a seed can grow into a mighty tree. Think about it. Somebody as big as you, who has a heart, kidney, stomach, and brains, grew out of an invisible seed. It is all a miracle. Sperm, egg, and then look at us standing here from that seed. We often ask ourselves the question, how will my $5 seed turn into thousands of dollars? It is impossible, says the natural mind. But through the miracle power of God, your $5 seed can actually become $1 million. Yeah. Don't ask me why, because I do not know. I just accept it as a fact of faith. I know it happens. I believe it happens because I am a believer. You and I must be stickers of the New Testament, stickers of the Bible, stickers of the faith of God. Trust God that once it's in the Bible, it settles it. Let's be people of faith. If you believe in this reality, you will be happy to pay your tithes. You will know that it is not a waste of 10% of your income. You will know that it is the investment of a seed into the ground, into the good ground of a church. You will know that it is the investment of a seed into the miracle power of God. Hallelujah. Amen. You will know that it is an investment into the miracle power of God. So you and I must trust God. Trust Him. So just give. Pay tithe. It is a blessing. Amen. It is a blessing. Tithing, take it that, I mean, tithing is just our dues to God. If you have a franchise, I know someone who has a franchise, you pay this percentage. In the small, they don't give it a small print, but in the general thing, pay this percentage. And then you can have the franchise. Let's assume pay 15%. But behind the 50%, pay this 0.1%, pay this 0.9%, pay this 1.2%. Before you realize, you are paying about 25% from the 15. Hallelujah. But God just says, there's no hidden fee. 10%, and I'll keep you. Jacob said, if God will be my God, and God will protect me, God will look after me, if God will provide for me, then a tenth of all my increase I give to Him. So it's similar to those people, those wild people who ask for payments to protect people. These gangsters and many of these, you know what I'm talking about. There are people who you pay me, and sometimes they'll break your legs if you don't. Hallelujah. So pay me this amount. If you pay me this amount, I'll protect you. Now, God is saying that the whole world is in my hands. Your life is in my hands. I have blessed you. I have kept you. Now, give me 10% to honor me for that. People won't do it. And keep the 90. God could have said, make it 30-70. But God said, or 50-50. But God said, 10%, only 10% is mine. Take the rest of the 90. What do you think? Let's give to God. It is what is due him. Honor the Lord. That's how we honor God. We honor God with our substance, with the first fruits of all our increase. Hallelujah. So let's honor him, and God will bless us. Shall we stand to our feet? Let's speak to God. Honor the Lord with your substance. With the first fruit of all thine increase. Ask God to speak to you. Ask God to speak to you. Oh God, we bless your name. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. Whilst we're praying, if you are here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you want to say, Pastor, please pray with me. I don't know Jesus as my Lord, but I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. I want to be born again. I want my sins forgiven. If you want a new birth experience and you want God to take your life and use you and mold you and make you more like him, you want to be born again, you can raise your hands and I'll pray with you. If you are watching also, you can raise your hands. Just raise your hands. Shall we repeat after me? Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
That Jesus Christ is Lord.
I believe that he died on the cross.
That he died on the cross.
For my sins.
For my sins.
I believe that God raised him from the dead.
That God raised him from the dead.
Lord Jesus. Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Come into my life.
Come into my life.
Forgive me.
Forgive me.
For all my sins.
For all my sins.
Cleanse me, Lord.
Cleanse me, Lord.
From all unrighteousness.
From all unrighteousness.
From today.
From today.
I belong to Jesus Christ.
I belong to Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
For saving me.
For saving me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Father God, we bless and honor and thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may take our seats.